Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 18 lines from the bottom of Daf Gimel. As we mentioned, we're in the middle of a sugya, a long sugya, starting from the beginning of the Masechta through at least Daf Vav, concerning the issue of the shliach, the agent who is bringing a get from abroad to Eretz Yisrael, and other examples as well, the need for the shliach to say b'fonai nechtav u'b'fonai nechtam. We saw Rabba and Rava arguing as to what the reason for that takona is. We have a house shape marking that you can see in the Gemara text, and if you look at the side under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, we explain the Nosei being the topic heading and Mivneh the structural note. The house marking is Diyun Loma Rava V'Rabba Lo Hisbiru Kamoi Hasheni. Why does each one not explain like the other one? Rabba had indicated that the b'fonai nechtam statement made by the agent is in order to establish that the get was written lishma, with intent, for this particular couple. And Rava mentioned that the shliach's statement is in effect a verification of the signatures. As we go on in this section of Gemara, you'll notice some squiggle underlining. Besides the attempt to highlight the end of the names Rava and Rabba, because they sound so similar, it's important to note that Rava ends with an Aleph and Rabba ends with a Hey, two different Amoroyim. There is also a give and take discussion where each one responds to the other. So now we pick up the Gemara where the house marking, first house, the Rava my taima lo omar kerabba. Rava, who spoke about the shliach, the agent, saying b'fonai nechtam, and in order to serve as a verification of the authenticity of the signatures, why doesn't he say that the role of the shaliach is to establish that the get was written lishma? Omar loch, Rava will tell you, mi kotoni, does it say in the Mishnah text b'fonai nechtav lishma, b'fonai nechtam lishma? Notice we've dashed underlined lishma. That is the word that according to Rabba would have been the essential element, and yet it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. The Rabba, what's his response? Bedin hu delisni hachi. In truth, since the purpose of the agent's statement is to establish lishma, it should have said that. Elodi mashis le dibure. If you increase the amount, he is going to have to say, mafshis means to increase. If you're going to burden him with so many words, in other words, there are two phrases, each one having three words in it, osi limigze, he is going to come to chop off, to shorten what he's supposed to say altogether. If we look together in the Rashi, you could see Osi Lemigze in the upper part of the narrow lines, Delo Yomar Kulhu. The agent, if you burden him with too much to say, he's going to end up not saying everything he's supposed to say. V'amrinon Lekamon, and there's a rule that is stated later, Kol HaMeshalemi Makbea Shetovu Chachomim Begitin, anyone who changes from the format that the rabbis established in the realm of divorce documents, Havlad Mamzer, the marry if she the woman if she remarries based on this divorce that is done b'shinui, is done with some type of change, the resultant child would be considered illegitimate by virtue of the fact she's not considered divorced. So that it's better for us to play it safe and establish a text for the agent that he'll be able to handle without overburdening him with a formal text that he might end up not saying properly. And the result is the Vlad Mamzer. So we can turn back to the Gemara text. Hashtonami osi l'migzei. Well, now that you have the phrase as it is, b'fonai nechtav, two-word phrase, and then, of course, the next two-word phrase, but might he not come to shorten this as well? The Gemara answers, chado mitlas goiz, chado mitarti lo goiz. When it's one out of three words, if the text had been b'fonai nechtav lishmo, there's a fear he might not say all three words. He'll say two of the words. But if he's charged with saying a two-word phrase, b'fonai nechtav, there we don't have any fear that he'll cut it short. V'rabo, my time alo omar kirova. Rabo, who spoke about the shliach saying his statement in order to establish that it was done with specific intent, why doesn't he explain like Rava does that it's kiyum shtar, that it's verification? Omar loch, Rava will tell you, im kain, if the role of the agent is simply to verify authenticity of signatures, nisni b'fonai nechtam v'su lo. All the agent should have been expected to say is it was signed in front of me. The signatures, nechtam, chasimo, that has to do with signatures. Befonai nechtav lomoli, why does the Mishnah say that the Shliach says, in addition to the befonai nechtam, he precedes that with befonai nechtav, that in front of me it was written. Shma mino, bo'inon lishmo. We see from here that it's an issue of lishmo, the writing of the get with the specific intent, and not a statement for the purpose of a signature verification. V'rova, bedinhu delisni hachi. Rava says, in truth, it could have been just b'fonai nechtam. Rava, of course, allegiant to his opinion that the purpose is to verify the signatures, it would have been enough for the shliach to say it was signed in front of me, that being the verification. So why do we ask him to say in addition b'fonai nechtav? Ela de'im kain, if he would say just b'fonai nechtam, osi lichlufi b'kiyum shtoros de'alma be'eid echad. I'll confuse this with signature verification in general, or maybe to say it a little more accurately, I'll confuse signature verification in general and pattern it like this case, namely, just like here, we're relying on the singular witness. I'll say in general, signature verification is accomplished through a singular witness, and that is a mistake, and that's not true. So in order to make this case, where we are the case of the get conveyed by the agent and his signature verification, and make it unique so that I won't confuse it with general signature verifications in other documents, we impose upon the agent to say this additional text, making it sound like something different. Ve'rabo, says, what are you saying then, that b'fonai nechtav is just to prevent us from confusing general signature verifications with this case? Me dummy. And now you'll notice there are three triangles, and on the side under the mivneh heading, under our structural note, three tainus shel rabo, three claims that Rava has against what was just said. Lomo lobo inon befonai nechtav kedei limnoa bilbul im kium da'almo. Rava is going to argue that you don't need befonai nechtav simply to prevent confusion with kium shtoros in general. In the first place, this case is different than kium shtoros in general, even without the befonai nechtav. And here he explains. We go back to the Gemara text. Mi domi, how can you even think that this is similar to kium shtoros in general? Hasam means over there, kium in general. The phrase that is used is yad einon. The witnesses would say, we know these to be authentic signatures. Haha, befonai. Here it's a different expression. So if your concern is confusion, you don't have to add befonai nechtav. Just by saying befonai nechtam, you already see this is different. Why then does he, in fact, according to Rabba, why does he say befonai nechtav? Well, that gets you back to what Rabba claimed earlier, the issue of lishma. Let's continue another argument of Rabba. Hasam isha lo mehemna. In general, with regard to the signature verifications, women are not believed. Women are not acceptable as witnesses to testify. Haha, isha mehemna. Here, a woman can serve as the agent, and with her statement, she would be believed. So you see, again, that this case of the get conveyance is different than the standard case of signature verification. Hasam, another difference. Baal dover lo mehemon. The person who has a vested interest, person who has personal interest in the case, that's the baal dover, the one who wrote the shtar. He's not going to be believed to the one. I say the one who wrote the shtar, the seller of whatever is being sold by virtue of, but through a document or whatever, the baal dover, he who is producing the shtar in general, would not be believed to verify the signatures. He's got too much of a personal interest in it. Haha, in the case of the get, baal dover mehemon. The baal dover, in this case, the person with the vested interest, is the woman. You can have a situation where the woman who's being divorced is actually serving as the agent of conveyance of the get to herself. That sounds a little bit odd, but you can have a situation where a woman was given a divorce document outside of Eretz Israel, and the husband said as follows. He made this conditional. He said, you're going to take this get to a court. Let's say to a court in Eretz Israel. And there, once you get to the court, so then this get will take effect. So in that case, the woman is actually serving as an agent of conveyance for herself. And when she gets to the court and she says, b'fonai nechtam, she's believed. So you see that this is different than the case of kium shtoros in general document signature verifications. So you don't need to add, says Rabo, b'fonai nechtav, just to prevent confusion. The Rava Omar Loch. Rava answers point for point that you really do need the b'fonai nechtav to set this apart. When I say this, it means the case of the divorce document from verification of signatures in general. Why do I really need b'fonai nechtav for that? So Rava says, if you, Rava, were claiming that in general you use the term yadinon and making it very different than our case of the agent conveying the get, that's not a difference. Rava says, otu hocha, in the case of the get, ki amri, when the agent would say, yad inon, mi lo mehemni, would the agent not be believed if he uses the word yad inon, that we know, that I know, that the signatures are truthful? V'kevon d'chi amri yad inon mehemni, since in the realm of gittin, if they would say yad inon, they would be believed. Asi lechlufi b'kiyum shtaros ta'alma b'ein echad. People would think that in general, just like over here, the verification is taking place with one, namely the agent. Verification in general can take place with one. And in order to prevent that, we have to add b'fonai nechtav to make this a unique statement. And I'll understand that this is different than all other cases. You might ask, what about the other claims that Rabbo made? The claim of the woman and the claim of the Baal Dovar, where we say in general women would not be believed and here a woman is believed. In general, a Baal Dovar is not believed and here the Baal Dovar is believed. So Tosfos says, second Tosfos from the bottom, let's look at short Tosfos, we'll look at it together. V'kevam de'ilu amri yodanu v'chule, v'kushya de'isha u'baal dover, the questions that Rabbah had raised from the issue of woman and issue of baal dover, lo chosh l'taretz. Rabbah doesn't bother responding to those objections. The lo shchiach de'maisi gita, it's unusual that the woman would be the one to bring her own get. V'chimaisi aid kosher osi lechlufi. And what we are afraid of is that if an acceptable witness is bringing the get, and he would say just b'fonai nechtam, will come to confuse this with general verification. And summarize what we had said in the Gemara, if an aid kosher would bring the get and say yodea or yodati, that it's a truthful signature, that sounds very much like court signature verification in general, where witnesses say yadi'inan. So you have to add, says Rava, b'fonai nechtav, to set this case apart from all other cases of signature verification. Before we continue further in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, and we indicate that this goes till daf dalet omid aleph, birur aliba de rabba, an analysis, according to Rabbah, mi hatana de mishnosenu, who would be the author of our Mishnah shitzorich, shegam haksiva ye lishma. After all, Rabbah said that the reason that the shaliach, that the agent, when he comes to give the get, he announces b'fonai nechtam. B'fonai nechtam is to establish that it was done with specific intent for this couple. B'fonai nechtav, according to Rabbah, would mean it was written up in front of me, lishma. And it was signed in front of me, lishma. Which Tana, amongst the different Tanoim that address this topic, which Tana says both aspects, the writing of the body of the divorce document and the signatures of the divorce document have to be lishma. What's behind this question is that it's true that Tanoim figure in this discussion, but we don't find any one Tana that says you need to have both elements lishma. So as you can see, when you turn back to the Gemara text, we have a question, and this is a very long question. It's going to take us down till four lines before the bottom of Amud Beis. So take note of that. The Gemara. Ula Rabba diomar lefi she'ein bekiyin lishma. According to Rabba, that said that agents who bring from Medina Sayam have to say b'fonei nechta b'fonei nechtam in order to ensure us that it was done lishma, because we're suspect that maybe it wasn't done lishma. Man haitana, who is the author of our Mishnah de Boi, ksiva lishma uboi? We continue at the top of Amud Beis, chasima lishma. Which Tana says you need to have both aspects of the divorce document done with this high level of intention. And we highlight with diamonds the different candidates, but we're also going to reject each one as we go along, making this question a question. E, Rebbe Meir, if you're going to suggest that it would be Rebbe Meir who requires both, that's not true. Chasima boy, ksiva lo boy. Rebbe Meir, as we're going to see shortly in a Tanaic source that's quoted, he requires the signing to be done lishma. He doesn't require the writing of the body of the get to be done lishma, disnan. Here we have the source for that. Ein kaisvin b'mechubar l'karka. You're not supposed to, as a first choice, write a get on something that's attached to the ground. Imagine you go to a tree, which is something that's growing from the ground, and you write a get on the wood of the tree. And then you take a saw, and you saw off the section of the tree that you had, upon which you had written the get. So that's not the right way to do things as a first choice. That's ein kaisvin b'mechuba l'karka. Kosvoi al ha-mechuba l'karka. Let's say he did that. Talsho, and then detached it. Chosmoi v'nosnu la. Then, after it was detached, witnesses signed the document, and then the get was given to her. It's okay, it's kosher, it's an acceptable get. What we see here, without getting into the details, the halacha demands that the get be written on something that's detached. Where do you see that element being a binding factor, according to what we just read in the source? Is that a binding, a restrictive factor when it comes to the initial writing? No. Is it a restrictive factor, a binding factor when it comes to the signing? So that we say yes, because it's this, and that's why in this case, it was first detached, then it was signed, and given to her, it's okay. Why? Because when the signing was done, it was no longer attached to the ground. So according to Rabbi Meir, when the Pasuk says, V'kosav law, sefer krisus v'nosan law biyada, and V'kosav has to be without any physical break or interruption between the ksiva and the nesina. What does V'kosav mean according to Rabbi Meir? The writing that the Torah refers to is the writing of the signatures, the chasima. So as long as between the chasima and the giving there is no other act, no other physical act that is necessary, the get is okay. So what do we see from this? We see that the only, let's say, restrictive or binding factor in a get to ensure its kashrus, its acceptability, its effectiveness, is only with regard to the signing. So, for our purposes, when the pasuk says v'kosav law sefer krisus v'nosan biyoda, what does law mean? Law means lishma, and what does v'kosav mean? The signing has to be law. The signing has to be with her in mind, with the intent of this man divorcing this particular woman. So as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, he doesn't require the ksiva being done lishma, just the chasima. E Rebbe Elazar, ksiva boy, chasima lo boy. And if you're going to think that the author of our Mishnah is Rebbe Elazar, well, he says that only the ksiva must be done lishma, not the chasima. Rebbe Elazar, we'll see as we go on in the Gemara, he happens to hold that from the Torah, from the Torah's perspective, a divorce document that doesn't have witnesses on it is a kosher get. So when the Torah says v'kosav law sefer krisus, the kosav word that the Torah uses can't be a reference to the writing of the witnesses. It's the writing of the body of the divorce document. The Gemara goes on and says, "Vel v'chitem al yoylam Rebbe Elazar hi." You might say that the Mishnah is really in in accordance with Rebbe Lozer. V'chilo boy Rebbe Lozer chasima lishmo midoraisa. That which we said Rebbe Lozer doesn't require the signing to be lishmo. That's only on a from the Torah's demands. The Torah itself doesn't demand the signing to be lishmo. Midrabanon boy, but Rebbe Lozer would tell you that from the rabbinic standpoint, we do require the signing to be lishma. But that's not true. V'ha shloisha gittim psulin d'rabbanon v'lo boy Rebbe Lozer chasima lishma. We're going to see a Tanaic source in which this detail will come forth, but even without reading the source, there's a Mishnah that lists off three kinds of gittin that are considered posel midrabanan, that are not acceptable on a rabbinic level. But one thing is for sure, in this presentation, Rebbe Lozer is going to reveal to us that when it comes to the signatures being lishma, you don't need that even on a rabbinic level. You can see that we have a bracketed section. This bracket is not for skipping purposes. It's simply to point out that when we get to this point in the reading, which we said, v'hal shloish shegitim psulin d'rabbanan v'lo boy Rebbe Lozer chasima lishma, we've reached the heart of the question, the end of the question. Within the bracketed section is all the background for this. But what we had suggested and also rejected was, well, maybe Rebbe Lozer is the author of the Mishnah, and not only Ksiva is required, but Chasima is also required, Lishma. Ah, but the Torah says V'kosav, and according to Rebbe Lozer, V'kosav law means the writing of the body of the document, not the signatures. That's true on a Doraisa level, but on a rabbinic level, maybe Rebbe Lozer does want the Chasima to be done, Lishma. The Gemara says no, Rebbe Lozer does not require, even on a rabbinic level, the chasima to be done lishma. Now we continue in the Gemara where this point will be brought out. This nan, shloisha gittin psulin. There are three types of divorce documents that, as far as what we call lichatchila, they're posel. Meaning, if you were to ask how to prepare a get, if you were to prepare it this way, it would be considered posel. If as a first choice. V'im niseis, if however the get was prepared with this deficiency, which we'll see listed all very shortly, and the woman went ahead and got married to another husband anyway, havlad kosher, the child that's born is not considered illegitimate. It's considered a kosher child. In other words, that when a push comes to shove, the get will work anyway. Now, what are those three psulim, three deficiencies? Kosav v'ksav yodo v'eino lo vedim. If the get was written by the husband, Rashi says, kosav v'ksav yodo yedei habal. The husband wrote the get, and he did not have witnesses sign upon it. That's one example of a get that will be effective at the end of the day. Number two, yesh olav edim v'ein bozman. Witnesses did sign it, but there is no date indicating when it was written. Yesh bozman v'ein bo elo eid echad. Or a get that has the time, the date written in it, but it has only one witness that signed it, and the handwriting of the body of the document. In other words, we can identify the sofer through the handwriting, and there's one witness that signed it. Hare elu shloisha gittin psulin. We've listed three examples of gittin that are not acceptable on a first choice, as a first choice. However, if the woman marries a second husband based on one of these examples, the child born from the second marriage is a kosher child. He's not considered the child of an Ashes Ish, of a married woman, married, i.e., to the first husband anymore. Rebbe Lozer Omer, Af al pi she'ein olov edim, even if the divorce document has no witnesses signed on it, Elo shenosnu law, shenosnoi law bifnei edim, but it was given to her in front of witnesses, kosher, the get is totally legitimate. It's acceptable. The goyve minichose mishubadim, and this woman, in order to collect her ksuba, the financial document that a woman is given at the point she gets married, in the event that she gets divorced, she collects money. She can collect even from purchasers of properties that bought properties from the husband after this woman got married to him. That's nechosim mishubadim. She has a lien on all of the husband's properties that he had at the point that they got married, and his sale to outsiders will not stop her from turning to them for ksuba collection. And according to Rebbe Lozer, therefore, a document that has no witnesses on it, as long as it was given to her in front of witnesses, it's a totally kosher document. She'ena edim choismen ala ged elevet ne tikon oilam. The whole basis of witnesses signing the document in the first place is only, we'll say, out of to create a convenience. What do we mean by that? Well, if the witnesses in front of whom the get was given died, then you're not going to have any testimony to her being divorced. Therefore, in anticipation of a situation like that, where the witnesses that had seen the handing of the get from husband to the wife, in the event that those witnesses die, if you have witnesses signed in the document itself, will be able to verify those signatures, and thereby machshir, accept the divorce. If you look in Rashi, second line from the bottom, Elo mipnei tikkun olam, the whole purpose of having signatories in the first place is mipnei tikkun olam, shemo yomusu edim v'shuv ein lo edus. The witnesses might the witnesses that see the divorce took place might die, and then the divorce has no longer any testimony. Lefikach noagu lachtoim, therefore the practice set in that they would witnesses would sign the get. Deim yomusu, that even if they die, tare chasimosim li'edim achirim, you could still show their signatures to other witnesses, v'yakiru, and they'll recognize it, and that would be the verification. But by letter of the law, the get will be kosher even if witnesses did not sign it. And who says this? This is Rebbe Lozer. So we see that Rebbe Lozer doesn't place any premium on the signatories appearing in the document itself, and certainly the issue of lishma would play no role with regard to the signatories. So therefore, Rebbe Lozer, he places the premium on the writing of the body of the document, but the signing is of no central importance. Even if the signing were done shelo lishma, it would be okay. So we're back to square one. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah that's concerned with not only the writing of the body of the document being done lishma, but the signatories also having signed it lishma? V'elo Rebbe Meir he. Now you'll notice we have triangles, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, Sidra Shel Tshuvos, series of answers, La'she'ela Man Tano de Mishpsenu, in order to answer the question, who's the author of our Mishnah, Lafi Shitas Rabo. So if we just take a bird's eye view of the Gemara structurally, you notice we have number one right here, four lines from the bottom of Omid Beis, and number two, three lines from the top of Daf Dalet Omid Aleph, And number three, several lines later, where Rav Ashi explains who the author is of our Mishnah. The Gemara. V'elo Rebbe Meir hi. Our Mishnah can be authored by Rebbe Meir. Ah, we saw this at the top line. We rejected it. We said that Rebbe Meir is concerned only with the Chasima being Lishma and not the Ksiva. The Vechilo Boy Rebbe Meir Ksiva Lishma, that which we said, Rebbe Meir does not require the writing of the body of the get to be done Lishma, that's Midoraisa, true. From the Torah perspective, Ksiva Lishma is not necessary. Midorabonan Boy, but on a rabbinic level, the rabbis do want the body of the get to be done lishma. We have a question. This will take us to the third line from the top of Dalet Amud Aleph. The Ha Amar Rav Nachman Omer Hoya Rebbe Meir Afilu Motzoi Be'Ashba. Even if you happen to find a divorce document. Totally, it's all prepared. You found it in the garbage. The chosmoi, we're at the top of the Aftalit Omer Aleph. The chosmoi v'nosnoi la kosher. So what? We have a fellow that wants to divorce his wife. He found a divorce document completely prepared with the same names as this fellow has. Someone else had written a get for divorcing his wife. And the names matched this couple's names. The one that found the divorce document in the garbage. So he took it out of the garbage, had witnesses sign it, and he gave it to his wife. It's a good divorce. V'chitemo anan midoraiso ko masnina la. You might say that, well, this teaching of Rav Nachman is only on a Torah level. But on a rabbinic level, it wouldn't be good because you don't have the ksiva lishma. Ihachi, well, if that is the case, if Rav Nachman is teaching us something on a purely Torah level, then he should have said as follows, Omer Hoya Rebbe Meir Devar Torah. He should have added that Rebbe Meir says on a Torah level, even if you found it in the garbage and signed and had it signed, it would have been okay. But he doesn't say that. So apparently, Rebbe Meir, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, doesn't require the writing to be done lishma. Even midrabanan. So how can we suggest that the author of our Mishnah is Rebbe Meir, when in fact Rebbe Meir has no interest in the body of the document being written lishma? The only thing that's of concern to Rebbe Meir is the signing. Ah, but our Mishnah said you have to have both done lishma, the writing of the body of the get and the signing. Elo li'olam Rebbe Lozer hi. We go back to Rebbe Lozer. V'chilo boy Rebbe Lozer chasima. Where is it that Rebbe Lozer is willing to forego the issue of the signing? Namely, Rebbe Lozer is concerned only with the writing done lishma, but the signing he does not care about. We even saw a source that said, according to Rebbe Lozer, a get that's given to a woman that has no signatories in it whatsoever is kosher, as long as it's given in the presence of witnesses. So the Gemara explains that v'chilo boy Rebbe Lozer chasima, under what circumstances is Rebbe Lozer willing to forego the chasima? Hecha delek le'edim klal. This sounds a little bit ironic, but the kashrus is when there are no witnesses whatsoever. However, if you're already going to put witnesses in the document, boy, then you do have to have them signing properly. It's like saying all or nothing. Nothing is okay. Have no witnesses signing it, fine, that's all right. But if you're going to have witnesses signing it, they've got to do it lishmo as well. The Amar Rebbe Abba, Moide Rebbe Lozer b'mezuyof mitocho shehu posel. Rebbe Lozer, who does not require witnesses signing the document whatsoever. However, if unacceptable witnesses did sign it, that makes it worse. Better no witnesses than having false witnesses or unacceptable or disqualified witnesses appearing as signatories. Rashi says, "B'mezuyof mitocho shechosam olav koroi v'posul o shelo lishma," and we dash the line in the Rashi, "O shelo lishma," because that's really the main point of this discussion. So Rebbe Lozer, who said that the ksiva must be done lishma, he will tell you that the chasima also must be done lishma. It's true that if you had no witnesses whatsoever, the get is kosher. However, if you're going to put witnesses in the get, signing the get, they have to sign lishma, based on this teaching of Rabbi Abba concerning Rebbe Lozer. Rav Ashi Omar, Homoni, Rabbi Yehudahi. According to Rav Ashi, the author of our Mishnah is a new name so far in our discussion. It's Rabbi Yehuda. Disnan, Rabbi Yehuda, Posel, Ad Shetei Ksiva, Ksivoso, V'chasimoso, V'tolosh. Rabbi Yehuda says that a get is not kosher unless the writing and the signing is done on a get that is detached from the ground. If you recall earlier, we introduced this issue of detachment from the, based on the posik that says the kosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyodo, between the writing and the giving of the get, there should be no additional actions, so that the feared additional action would be the act of detaching the get from the ground, or from the plant or the tree on which you wrote the get. We don't want to have that act, an additional action between the writing and the actual giving of the get. So Rav Yehuda says that a get will not be acceptable unless the material on which you're writing the get is pre-detached, thereby enabling me to write it, sign it, and then give it without any act of detachment in the interim. So what do we see from this? We see that the pasuk, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says v'kosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyoda, that v'kosav is a reference to the writing and the signing. They must be law. Lishma means with specific intent. And here we have a Tana that can stand behind our Mishnah. The Gemara asks the almost obvious question, Umeikora my time alone mukmina lokarabuta. Why at the outset did we not jump upon this find and say, oh, our Mishnah is Rebuta? It's like it's very clear that Rebuta is concerned with the ksiva and the chasima both being done lishma, as we explained. It has that point is manifest from the fact that the ksiva and the chasima must be done on a pre-detached item. Through which we had established that the kosav law is a reference to the ksiva and the chasima law being lishma. So why at the outset did we not set up our Mishnah like Rebbe Yehuda? Why were there these attempts to say, well, maybe it's Rebbe Meir, maybe it's Rebbe Lozer? The Gemara answers, Mahadrinon our Rabbi Meir, we sought out trying to set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, because we have our Mishnah is a Mishnah appears without a name in it. The Stam Masnisen. Stam is a term referring to unnamed Mishnayis. What do we mean unnamed? That the author of what's being said in the Mishnah, his name doesn't appear. That's called a Stam Mishnah. Generally speaking, that is authored by Rabbi Meir. So that would have been the most likely candidate for authorship of our Mishnah, being that our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Mahadrinon at Rabbi Lozer, we thought maybe Rabbi Lozer is the author of the Mishnah. The Kaimalon Hilchisa Kavosei Begitin, because we hold that the halacha follows Rabbi Lozer regarding this matter of signatories, namely that a get that has no witnesses in it is kosher. So when it comes to the matter of signatories, we follow Rebbe Lozer's approach. So we figured that maybe our Mishnah is in accordance with that, we'll say, authoritative approach, namely Rebbe Lozer. And as we went on in the Gemara, we saw that that became an impossibility, and therefore we finally came to Ravashi's approach, setting up our Mishnah like Rebbe Yehuda. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.